I'm Paul Bear with Bear Farms in Paris, Texas, and you're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Highly pathogenic avian influenza is found on a Texas dairy. We'll have more on that coming up to kick off today's show.
Texas High Plains feed yards are staying pretty full, even with fewer ranch cattle coming in. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
USDA is looking to increase its budget by over $2 billion. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Highly pathogenic avian influenza has been found in one Texas dairy and two others in Kansas. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service confirmed Monday that HPAI was found in samples submitted by those dairies. Several Texas Panhandle dairies have reported strange symptoms, primarily in older cows, such as decreased lactation and low appetite. About 10% of each affected herd appears to be impacted, with little to no mortality reported. While HPAI was found in the samples, more investigation is needed to determine if HPAI is the sole causative agent for those symptoms. At this stage, officials say there is no concern about the safety of the milk supply or that this circumstance poses a risk to consumers. Cattle traceability has been a hot topic in the cattle industry this year, as some segments of the industry are pushing for an electronic identification system for all segments of the cattle business. At the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association's annual meeting in Fort Worth over the weekend, Callahan Grund of U.S. Cattle Trace told cattle producers he hopes the industry is proactive in this space to help prevent a government mandate.
Yeah, obviously. I think we're at a fork in the road because we've tried this for about 20 to 25 years. We can only cuss and discuss items for so long before we start either looking for solutions or say, we're just going to sit back and wait for this thing to come and then we'll deal with it when it comes. And, you know, I think when we look at traceability and the current class of cattle covered by the government, it wouldn't take anything for them to come in and mandate a system for feeder cattle there as well. And we're against mandates at U.S. Cattle Trace, but we are for providing solutions. I think we have an opportunity to be proactive, hopefully, and go down that other fork in the road, be proactive, build a system that works for us as producers before anything word ever comes. So we said, hey, government, we've got it taken care of here on this voluntary animal disease traceability side of things.
But there are still segments of cattle producers who remain skeptical about an electronic ID system because of costs and mandates.
Yeah, and even really just in general against ID and traceability, individual ID and traceability as a whole. And, you know, most of the time that's a viewpoint of don't want government oversight and reach. And I'm all for that, too. I don't want government oversight and reach, too. That's why I think it's important for us as producers to build a system and say, we've got it taken care of as producers here. We've got a system that works for us. Let us work collaboratively with you. We want U.S. Cattle Trace to serve as that white picket fence to work with you as the government, rather than government's going to take control of this and shove something down our throats.
And producers have legitimate concerns about privacy.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And I think as producers, data privacy is paramount to us. And so we've taken every step and precaution and necessary that you can from the data side of things to make sure that is, you know, privacy and taken care of. We don't have any individual producer data. It's just the ID, date, time, and GPS coordinates of where that animal may have been read at that instance. No personal identifiable information there. And the database is locked up and secured only to be used in case of disease outbreak.
That's Callahan Grund. He is with U.S. Cattle Trace. discussing electronic ID and cattle traceability at the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association's annual meeting over the weekend in Fort Worth. Texas High Plains feedlots are staying full. James Hunt tells us that's even with fewer ranch cattle coming in.
USDA's Cattle on Feed report released on Friday shows a 1% increase in the number of cattle in feed yards nationwide. But according to TCFA, the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, we've actually seen a higher rate of increase year over year in the Texas-Oklahoma-New Mexico region at approximately 4% higher. Brady Miller of TCFA says there is a dwindling amount of ranch cattle coming into area feed yards, but there are other sources supplying feeders, including local dairies.
If you go back 5 years ago, we had very few beef on dairy. So yes, we have fewer calves in the country. We have fewer native calves on feed, but we're replacing that lower number with beef on dairy crosses, which before they switched to the beef on dairy cross, we weren't feeding Holsteins in these feed yards.
And Miller says there are more imports from south of the border.
2 years ago on the Mexican import cattle, feeder cattle, we imported somewhere around 800,000 to 900,000 head. But if you looked at last year's number, we were back up at around the 1.2, 1.3 million head.
And another factor coming into play, Miller says a lot of feeder cattle producers up north are looking to boost the productivity of their animals by sending them to feed yards in warmer climates.
And when I say cattle coming from the north, I don't think we're seeing feeder calves being put on trucks and hauled through Kansas all the way to Texas. But what I think you could see is that cattle that had been fed in the north find themselves in Kansas, and then some of those cattle in Kansas, because they're full, are being shifted south. And so it's just a northern-southern shift.
That's Brady Miller of TCFA. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
USDA is looking to increase its budget by over $2 billion. Jessica Domel has the story.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is asking Congress to increase its funding for the next fiscal year, which starts October 1st. On Thursday, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack testified in front of the House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee on the proposed budget, asking for a $2.2 billion increase over the current fiscal year's budget, which, if approved, would give USDA a fiscal year 2025 budget of $24.5 billion. In the hearing, Vilsack reminded the committee of the work that USDA does each year.
It is indeed a department that expands and creates more new and better and more competitive markets for our farmers here and around the world. We do a job of helping to finance operations and land access for our farmers. We partner with them to conserve our natural resources with healthier soils and cleaner water. We promote critical research that allows our farmers to continue to be productive. We protect and preserve animal and plant health. We guarantee a safe food supply. We work hard every single day to ensure that all Americans, young and old alike, are both food and nutrition secure. We create a meaningful economic opportunity in rural America by improving critical infrastructure, supporting a clean energy economy, and investing in a higher quality of life for those who live, work, play, and raise their families in rural America. And of course, outside the jurisdiction of this department, we also maintain the Forest Service, which has as its job protecting and preserving our national forests and grasslands.
Vilsack said USDA has four basic tools to do that job.
The Farm Bill is one of them, and we sincerely hope this is the year that we get a Farm Bill extension. The use of the CTC within the charter guidelines, the development and opportunity that the Inflation Reduction Act has provided for expanded conservation, and of course, the budget.
For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Farmers are busy with field preparation on the Texas Southern Plains. Tom Nicoletti goes to Lubbock for an update.
What are the conditions on the South Plains of Texas? Well, to find out, we go to Eddie Griffiths, who is standing by in the Lubbock area, and field preparations for spring planting continue up there, don't they, Eddie?
Yeah, they do, Tom. Everyone is trying to get ready for the spring planted crops. A lot of field cultivation going on at this time, trying to get some of the remaining stalks down, cotton stalks, milo stalks, and even a few corn stalks left out there. Guys are starting to get that stuff down. They kept them up to try to avoid some of the high wind pressures that we receive here in West Texas and keep a lot of that ground from blowing. But as we get closer to planting time, it's time to start taking some of the the stalks down and either cultivate or minimal till some of that ground to make it easier for planters to go through some of that. And weed pressures are kind of taking over in places, seeing lots of sprayers run in the area, trying to get rid of some mustard weed and other weeds that are out in the cropland and get that cleaned up. Try to get it off to as good a start as possible.
What about the winter wheat crop? How is it progressing at this point?
Well, Tom, the winter wheat crop, we've had some moisture, so every little bit helps as the wheat is concerned. A lot of the wheat is going into the tillering stage and going to require more moisture as we try to get yield potential out there, especially if it's going to grain or even for haying purposes. More moisture we can receive on the crop, the better. We're starting to see some guys make preparations to start fertilizing some of that wheat crop to optimize those yields.
And certainly moisture levels can always be better up in that region.
Definitely, as we go into springtime, I don't think we could get too much moisture to fill up that profile. If we can start with a good solid profile, get good emergence with these crops, carry it to the next rain, that's what we're always looking for.
Thank you, Eddie, for your report.
Thank you, Tom.
That's Eddie Griffiths. He is reporting for us from Lubbock.
I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Coastal Bend farmers are experiencing a great start to the 2024 crop year. This is Harvey Buring reporting from the Corpus Christi area.
And USDA is accepting applications for veterinary repayment programs in Texas. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to TexasFarmBureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to TexasFarmBureau.org to donate.
We're bringing you the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
Coastal Bend farmers are experiencing a great start to the 2024 crop year. Harvey Buring reports from the Corpus Christi area.
Farmers that I've visited with around the Coastal Bend all agree that this is one of the best starts to the new crop year that they've seen in a number of decades. Subsoil moisture's good, planting conditions were excellent, and the soil warmed up earlier than normal, and that allowed some steady planting progress without any interruptions from adverse weather conditions. Now, most growers have actually completed planting 1 to 2 weeks earlier than they have in past years. And currently, you drive around and corn and grain sorghum fields are up and growing rapidly, 4 to 6 inches tall in many locations. And those recent rains of the last weekend have certainly spurred additional growth in our newly planted crops. Now, cotton last December appeared that it was going to take another 10% to 15% decline in acreage, but the upswing in the futures market during January and February evidently prompted many growers to reduce their corn seed orders and increase cotton seed to replace those corn acres. Currently, there may only be a slight reduction in the number of cotton acres planted compared to the previous year. Cotton that was planted early is up and growing, and there appears to be no adverse effects from some of the heavier rainfall that hit the area last weekend. Of course, our cattle producers are also very happy with the situation. Winter grazing is more abundant this year because of those rains, and our permanent grasses in the warm season pastures are off to a great start, and that has reduced the amount of supplemental feeding that had to be done during the month of March. And of course, strong cattle prices and those premiums being paid for good feeder calves at local auction markets have also helped their situation. So the forecast for additional precipitation in the weeks ahead is also providing a lot of optimism to our Coastal Bend agricultural producers for a good crop year.
Reporting for Texas Ag Today from the Coastal Bend area, this has been Harvey Buring.
USDA is accepting applications for veterinary repayment programs in Texas. Dr. Bob Judd has more on the program.
There are many counties in Texas that lack veterinarians, and the United States Department of Agriculture is now accepting applications for the Veterinary Medicine Loan Repayment Program. The counties involved are Coke, Concho, Dimmitt, Ford, Freestone, Hardeman, Kinney, Knox, Limestone, Maverick, Menard, Navarro, Nolan, Real, Reynolds, Taylor, Uvalde, Wilbarger, and Zavala counties. The federal grant program incentivizes large animal veterinarians to practice in areas of the state where veterinary assistance is needed most. Providing financial relief and awards in veterinary shortage areas can directly benefit the food animal and animal agriculture industry. The USDA Veterinary Relief Program provides opportunities in rural areas to be awarded up to $200,000 for veterinarians in specific shortage areas. The program may award veterinarians up to $75,000 towards student loans. This program is authorized by the National Veterinary Medical Services Act and helps qualified vets to offset a portion of their debt incurred while pursuing their degree in veterinary medicine. The recipient veterinarian has to agree to serve the designated area for at least 3 years, and the awards will be offered in September of 2024, with the service agreement beginning in January 2025. The applicant must possess a Doctor of Veterinary Medicine degree from an accredited university, have a combined minimum school debt of over $15,000, and be able to secure employment within 90 days in a veterinary shortage area. Applications can be submitted through April the 12th, and more information available at the VMLRP website. Again, that is VMLRP.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our markets wrapped up Monday. We had competing factors in the cattle futures trade. A bearish cattle on feed report came out on Friday. However, we did set a record all-time cash fed cattle price last week. In the end, when it all shook out, cattle futures ended lower, with April live cattle down $1.30, 186.20. June down $1.30, 181.60, with August down $1.52, 179.97. Feeder cattle also lower. Nearby March down 50 cents, 249.45. April feeders down $1.05, 250.45, with May down $1.15 at 252.62. Now, we mentioned those record cash fed cattle prices last week. Here's how it shook out. Here in the Southern Plains, we sold cattle mostly at 188. That's $2 higher compared to the previous week. In the North, live sales 190 to 191.50. Dressed sales mostly at 302 to 303. Those prices $2 to $3 higher. The five area weighted average expected to come out around 189.50. If that is the case, that will be an all-time record high average price for fed cattle. Box beef was higher Monday, choice up 29 cents, 311.01. Select up 57 at 302.04. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
Neighbor, my name's Larry Marble. The program Walking the Pens, the network, Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, Jody Fry, producers in Cargill. How was your Thursday sale in San Angelo?
Went really good, Larry. 825 was the total. Steers, better quality steers, 4,600 pounds from 250 all the way up to a high of near 375, mostly 270 to 310. Heifer kids, 4,600 pounds, 225 to a high of near $3, mostly 240 to 280. Slaughter cows, average to high yielding, 90 to 110. Several of those highest yielding slaughter cows from 112 all the way up to a high of 138. Thin are very low yielding cows, including some of the longhorn cows from 65 to 85. Slaughter bulls average to high yielding 115 to 130. Several of those highest yielding slaughter bulls 133 to a high of 163. Bred cows and two-year-olds, a few average to better quality bred, light to medium bred 1150 to 1900. Did have a couple of choice sets of young second calf cows that were medium to heavy bred anywhere from 2000 to 2475. Cow calf pairs had those choice sets of second calf black and black molly face pair from that reputation herd out in West Texas. They brought from 3250 to a high of 3750.
Good. What do we know for next week?
Well, Tuesday, weather permitting, just be a week in front of Easter. Could be another big sheep and goat sale. Could be as many as 7,000 or 8,000. And cattle sale, probably lighter numbers leading into that Easter weekend. I'm going to say 600 to 700 head next Thursday at the regular sale.
Jody Fry, give us a number.
325-653-3371. That would get the office number. Mobile phones 234-7895.
We appreciate you, Jody. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
And neighbor, we appreciate you too. Each Monday through Friday, right here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. Jody Fry, my guest. Program Walk in the Pens. Good day.
Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished higher. April was up 57 cents, 85.15. The May up $1.52 at 91.92. Class 3 milk was higher. March milk up a penny, 16.42 a hundredweight. April milk up 15 cents, 15.72 a hundred. Cotton closed higher. Traders looking forward to Thursday's USDA prospective plantings report to get a handle on the latest estimate for cotton acreage here in 2024. May cotton was up 49 points, closing at 92.02. July up 70, 92.55. New crop December cotton up 6, 84.01. Corn continues in its sideways pattern. We were slightly lower with May corn down 1.5, 437 and 3 quarters. July corn down 3 quarters, 451 and a quarter, with September down 3 quarters, 461 a bushel. Wheat finished mixed on hard wheat. Kansas City wheat May contract down a penny, 589 and a half. New crop July up 3 quarters, 585 and a half. Chicago soft wheat was slightly higher. July up 1 1/4 at 570 and 3 quarters. In the energy markets, April natural gas down 4 cents at $1.61. May West Texas crude oil up $1.28, $81.91 a barrel. The financial markets were lower. The Dow down 162 points, 39,313. The NASDAQ down 44 at 16,384. With the S&P down 15, 5,218. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.